piece of meat?
Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Good morning, Vietnam!
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
I feel the need for speed.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Love means never having to say you're sorry.
You do! You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
I am serious. And don't call me sure.
There's no crying in baseball!
This is wrong, bitch.
Hey, the Schwartz going with you.
I am your father.
Get you, my pretty.
Take your stinking paws off me.
May the force be with you.
Here's Johnny.
What's up, film fans? Happy Sunday. Happy Easter. Welcome to episode 290 and welcome to the Cinnamon Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Juan. I'm joined by the cast, the crew, the guys, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Zach.
Hey, what's up, guys? Everyone had a good Easter?
Good Easter, man. Filled with some basketball, some movies, and a little bit of family time. What about you guys?
I just cleaned up the house. That's been my day.
church and chores. So essentially a little bit of both.
We resurrected to clean today.
Exactly. So what? The day you clean the house.
Yeah. But you know, if we're not going to clean, who's going to do it? Awkward silence.
Oh, yeah. So that's what makes it even better.
The awkward silence afterwards,
yeah.
Or the cigarette.
Yeah. The awesome awkward silence that just makes it even better.
Man, what a week, right? I don't know about you guys, but it feels like it's been forever since the last time we sat down and conversated about a movie. What do you guys think?
It was Patch Adams, what we talked about last week.
Man,
and that movie was miserable. See, that's what makes it.
I feel like we talked about that like 3 months ago. I'm not gonna lie.
Exactly. If I don't, man.
See, when you get depressing content, see what happens. You just seems like so long ago that we had fun. This is a fun episode.
Yeah, you know what? I'm just about to say. I think we should cancel Robin Williams Month because that conversation about that man last week depressed me so bad my hair fell out. I don't have any more hair, but. Speaking of, if you're watching us on YouTube channel, thank you for tuning in on
Emerson. And I don't have video again.
YouTube channel. Jay doesn't have video, but we had some technical difficulties today. So please, bear with us.
Excuse us.
Yeah, excuse us. But everybody out there in podcast land, everything is still the exact same. You'll be able to listen to this episode Sunday night after 9 p.m. Other than that, guys, it's been a fun few days. So I'm ready to get into today's movie. Well, I don't know about you guys, but last week, like Jay said and Zach said, we listened to and we didn't listen to, but you guys listened to us talk about Patch Adams. We talked about Robin Williams. So if you want to go back and listen to that depressing ass episode, log in, facebook.com/thecinnamonmoviepodcast. Instagram is all one word, /thecinnamonmoviepodcast. X, formerly known as Twitter, is @cinnamon405. And then the email is cinemen921@gmail.com. In there, you can find all the links to all of our past episodes, social media giveaways, and everything in between. So, also some announcements. Next week we'll have a different start time for the Iron Claw. It'll be 1 p.m. next Sunday, April the 7th. It'll be that way everybody can get out of here and go watch WrestleMania, the Final Four, any kind of basketball or wrestling they want to, since next weekend is going to be a pretty busy weekend. And then next Friday, on the sports podcast, we'll have two episodes next week. Wednesday, episode 5, April the 3rd, and then April the 5th, we'll have episode 6. So two episodes next week of the sports podcast. If you guys want to check that out, listen to us or watch us on this YouTube channel. So Other than that, guys, are you guys ready to hop into Friday on a Sunday?
Well, I figured we'd talk about what we watched first for the week. I was looking forward to that. I watched a shit ton of good movies this week, so
I don't have a lot. So I'll dump it off into you first, Jay, if you want to, and then Zach, I'm sure you would like to talk about Godzilla that you went out into the field and watched. Yeah. So
in my case, I didn't go out in the field. I know a streaming website, so ba-dum-bum. I watched Godzilla X Kong or Godzilla and Kong New Empire. That movie was pretty fun. Story was pretty pointless, but you didn't need the story. You just needed them to team up and kick some ass. That's all that you needed. But at least we got a story with this one. So that's all one thing I could say that was cool. I watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We got a lot of empires building up around here. We got a Frozen one. We got a new one. It was all right. It was a big nostalgia bait thing. You could see it a mile away. But it was fun. I had fun with it. I sat here and watched. It was an hour and 46 minutes, and I sat here and watched it. And the time went by pretty quickly. There was only a little bit of the subplot with the girl where she's talking to another ghost that's kind of like weird, but the rest of the movie's pretty decent. I watched the new Roadhouse. It won't beat the Swayze Dogs Roadhouse, but it was pretty decent. The action scenes when they would punch each other and shit, the camera was like super tight, super close. You could tell that Jake Gyllenhaal was in that scene taking that punch. You know, all the guys were in there. Whoever they were fighting, like Conor McGregor, when I fought, you could feel each impact and blow. So that was a good movie. I checked this movie out a few weeks ago, and I didn't mention it because I forgot about it. But this is one when it does come out to buy on Blu-ray and see it. Argyle with Superman in it?
Henry Cavill.
There we go. That one was real, and it's got Dallas Bryce Howard in it as well. It's a whole spy genre thing that goes on. It's set to a book series, but the book series is just a placeholder for. They show you this in the trailer, where they tell her that she's been writing a fictional world. The shit that's happening in that fictional world is going on in the real world.
Oof.
So. It's a real good movie. I enjoyed it. It was directed by Matthew Vaughn, the guy that directed Kick-Ass and Sucker Punch. I watched the documentary Apollo 11. Like I told you, I went on a movie watching Ben this week. Very cool to see that footage. I've never seen that movie before, Apollo 11. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Then I watched Dune Part 1 and Part 2.
And double feature, 1 and 2.
It was it. Seeing it all wrapped up in one neat pillow. It was nice. It was all right. It was just too quick, though, man. They were, like, fighting the Emperor, like, right then and there. I'm like, this could have completely been three movies. I know it could have been three movies. They made The Hobbit the three movies. This could be three movies, too.
Oof.
It was, other than that, that's what I seen this week. And I watched more Office.
More of The Office. Zach?
I hear my dogs are going off.
They are going off. We might have to tase one of them. No, I'm just messing with you.
I'll be up for it.
we can use a line from Mr. Jones on Friday. You can break your foot off in his ass. Zach, what about you? Did you check anything out other than Godzilla versus Kong? And how was that theater experience? Was there a lot of people? Was it packed?
No, not as packed as I thought it would have been. I agree with Jay. It was a real, real fun movie. I think I like Godzilla versus Kong a little bit more just because of it's just those two and not, you know, get introduced to all these other different creatures, which are fun. They have great creature design. But like you said, you don't care about the humans. You just want to see Godzilla and Kong kick some ass, and you definitely get that. We were talking about it off air, Johnny. I think you were talking about how someone said Godzilla was in the movie for about 8 minutes. I think he's in the movie longer than that. In retrospect, thinking about it, Kong is more of the central character in this one than
it should have been ones. Kong Godzilla.
Yeah,
because like some of Godzilla's screen time, no bullshit, is him sleeping in the Roman Coliseum, dude.
Yeah, which is a great visual, but
it is
yeah.
pretty cool looking seeing him asleep in the Colosseum
curled up like a cat.
Yeah, he is. He's all fucking curled up. He's all curled up and just chilling, sleeping. He's sneezing away. They're monitoring his life signals from a satellite above. So they're like, oh, yeah, he's asleep. So
I did get the it's in the other room. I forgot to bring it in here. I got the metal, the tin popcorn bin. It's nice. Really nice.
So, see, we talked about Godzilla versus Kong when it came out on HBO Max way back when, didn't we, Zach?
Yeah, we did.
It's been so long since I've seen it, I can't tell you what happened.
We need to, maybe when Godzilla gets a Blu-ray release, maybe we need to talk about it.
I did hear, maybe, just maybe, Godzilla Minus One might get a Blu-ray release late this year. So hopefully. It's going to come out in Japan. I don't know about Criterion. It's coming out in Japan May 1st for that area. You have a region-free Blu-ray, Johnny, so you can probably get that.
Hey, I do. But the only I see I read that too, but I heard it won't have English subtitles.
Oh, well.
So I'll just have to watch the visuals like a cat on watching the TV, you know?
Well, that's how you can tell if it's a good movie or not. If they're acting very well, you can sit there and just, without any audio, you can sit there and watch them what they're doing.
I mean, that's true. It is that one of those movies. So Johnny, you should just do it just for the hell of it. So you can just
the website that I watched Godzilla Kong on, there's a lot of subtitles in the movie. And thank God the lady spoke what she was fucking signing them, because with the channel that I watched online was in Spanish. So I had no idea what the fuck they were saying during the subtitle parts.
Man, yeah, you know what? I would like to say that I have some stuff I can get off my my watch list this week, but this week this week kicked the shit out of me. The only thing I did get to watch was Friday today for today's episode. But next week, boy, you guys better be ready.
Super excited.
Yeah, next week's gonna be.
I don't know how to approach that episode because I know a bunch of shit about that, but that the movie don't even talk about. So do we talk about that?
We'll talk about the movie, sir.
Okay.
Next week we will have a new top five, though. You know, one point in all, we've all probably watched or heard of some kind of wrestling character throughout pop culture and TV. So next week, since we're talking about the Von Erichs and we're talking about the movie The Iron Claw, we'll be talking about our top five favorite wrestling characters. Doesn't matter who, what, when, where, why. Just top five wrestling characters next week. And then if you guys are watching us again next Friday, April the 5th, that entire sports podcast episode will be dedicated to WrestleMania. And we will talk our top five WrestleMania events next Friday on Sports Breakers. But today, let's get into why we're here. Today we're talking about Friday with a April 26th, 1995 release date. So it is slowly approaching its 29th anniversary next month or later this month since we're almost in April. IMDb currently has it at a 7.2, Rotten Tomatoes is at 76%, while the Metascore is at 54%. With a $3.5 million budget, it has grossed a little over $28 million at the box office. It's Friday and Craig and Smokey must come up with $200 they owe a local bully / drug dealer, or they won't be there for a Saturday. Starring Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Nia Long, Tom Lister Jr., John Witherspoon, Regina King, and directed by F. Gary Gray. Zach, we'll start with you since I think this was your first time watching this. Usually we do first time versus now, but let's say a few short words after the movie. A few thoughts.
Man, where do I begin with this?
I had a hard time deciding what to talk about with this movie because there's a lot going on.
Listen, what I'll say about this is I'm not the target audience for this movie, so I'm not going to say I didn't like it. I'll just say I was just kind of twiddling my thumbs, essentially, through the whole thing. I get it. but it's not a movie for me. So I think that's just the best way I'll describe it.
Jay, the first time you've seen this, do you remember?
I kind of do. It was on pay-per-view back in 96.
Oh, my gosh.
I rented that. Yeah, I rented it on pay-per-view. After hearing, I was in a boys' home for a little bit, and I heard everybody, all the boys, the black kids at the school, they were like, oh, this movie Friday and shit, it's fucking hilarious. So when I got out, I ordered on pay-per-view because it was around that video window when it was coming out on video and pay-per-view and shit, and I checked it out, and I was like, okay, I get it. It's a now walking, the movie's a cult classic, and it's a walking meme. You could sit there and like the whole damn part in the movie whenever they see Red's eye.
Yeah,
you know, that's a meme now. You know, I was the target audience for this movie. I'm a child of the 90s. I was born in 82. I was 13 years old when this movie came out.
So let's talk about that real quick, because let's talk about that real quick, because you just said the movie came out in 95, April. So by the time it was hitting video or pay-per-view, that was a whole year later. Do you guys remember when the at-home video would take a whole year for you to be able to watch it or buy it on VHS?
I used to buy, since I helped out Ken at One Stop Video, this is, you know, something about mine and Juan's past, that we, our past video store, he used to give me all the old books that they would get and would sit there and say like 90-day pay-per-view window to let you know as a buyer of the tapes for your video store that this movie will not be on pay-per-view for like 90 days. So you have a positive reassurance that for 90 days, Friday won't be on pay-per-view. You'll have it in your stores and that's it. But after 90 days, it'll be on pay-per-view.
Interesting. That's just, that's
or it'll be available.
Climbing in that time capsule right there.
Well, you got to remember back in the day, Blockbuster, that's near your house now, legitimately, you know, they sold Terminator 2 when it first came up for $100 and people were buying it because VHS weren't released to be bought like Blu-ray and DVD were. You know, they were priced to own later on in their life cycle because they went through this whole different blend of movie theaters and home market and all that shit. You know, those, it was big numbers for a movie back in the 80s or 90s to have a CBS Sunday night at the movies. You know what I mean? Who in the fuck watches CBS Sunday night at the movies now? Nobody.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean that we're not going to show Batman on fucking Sunday night.
Hey guys, sorry I'm late to the party.
Oh, you're good. How are you?
So far, so good. Yourselves?
We're talking good. Friday. We just got into the discussion. We're just now talking about our first experiences with Friday. So since you joined us, why don't you tell us how it was from your point of view?
I don't remember my exact first time. I just know I've watched this movie like dozens of times. And it was more because of the music that I was thrown towards this movie. I simply love it, man. Like Ice Cube, huge in my book. Cypress Hill, huge in my book. So once I heard about this and finally found it, it was one of the starts of like the big part of the movie collection and some of the music, honestly, that I've always loved.
Well, speaking of Cypress Hill, Edward, I seen them in concert with Linkin Park.
Oh, I've seen Linkin Park. Well, me and Juan actually together went and seen Linkin Park back in 05, Minutes to Midnight tour, and with my dad. And so wow, that's pretty cool, though. Cypress and Linkin Park. That's awesome. I would have loved to see the Up in Smoke tour. That's what I would have loved to see.
Phenomenal to see.
Man. But first time, like, I got to say, dude, I like I said, a lot of the music was contributing factors.
About how old were you think you were?
Between 10 and 12. So this is between, like, 2000, 2002, when I actually first...
You've seen it young. Juan, what about you? Did you see it young?
I did not. You know, I saw clips of this back and forth walking through the living room. Believe it or not, this is a comedy movie my dad fucking enjoyed. Like, he enjoyed it a lot. And so it would always be like just clips here and there. But I didn't fully watch this movie until I started working at FYE. Like a lot of the movies I really got into that I just ventured out on my own. So I was like, let me check this out. It was cheap. I had it on DVD. I then upgraded to the Blu-ray when it came out. But you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed this movie as more times as I watch it. Like, I appreciate the cinema fact of it. Not let's throw out the fact that it's a good comedy. Let's throw out the fact that it's a good stoner movie, or it's a good, as Ice Cube calls it, it's a good teaching moment. That's what this movie is about, I think. and you know, his whole lifestyle and his whole philosophy and his whole just mindset of this movie was to teach. And I think
that's written by him and DJ Pooh.
And that's what this movie, I think, really set in my mind today. As I watched it today, it's been a rough week, like I said at the beginning of the episode. And this movie right here today made me laugh more than anything else did this entire week. And you know what?
That's what movies do, escapism, man. They make you feel good.
That's what it did for me today. So I think it should be a little fun conversation to kind of get into. But yeah, like I said, next month it's celebrating 29 years.
I will say this, that it was filmed in 20 days, and that Ice Cube has been interviewed as saying that his biggest influence on making the movie was Clerks. So it was a movie we talked about a couple weeks ago that influenced this movie here. Without Clerks, there would be no Friday.
Okay, that's awesome. That's legit right there.
Getting right into legit. This might surprise Zach, but you know what I thought about the most of the time throughout this entire movie? What this movie kind of reminded me of?
What's that?
It reminded me of The Godfather.
Whoa.
Why?
And you know, when you're sitting there watching The Godfather, you think of all the quotes and all the one-liners that that movie develops in just that one specific film. And sitting there watching Friday today, I had the same novelism. I had the same mind thought of, man.
No, that's fair.
You were probably quoting the fuck out of the movie, weren't you?
I was. The one-liners, the quotes. I was like, man.
I said, it's a living meme.
Almost every other line was just so quotable. I'm like, man, I haven't seen this movie in so long, but those lines.
What version of the movie did you watch?
I watched the director's cut, which is only an extra 8 minutes.
I watched the same version, and I thought it completes the movie a little bit better.
Yeah.
It was a lot funnier.
See, I didn't search, and I didn't really guesstimate what's the difference. I was like,
I've seen it so many times that I know what they changed. Like the whole scene where the dad and him were talking in the kitchen. I was like, holy shit, they added like another minute and a half to this part.
And let's talk about that scene. That's where the scene opens up. You get introduced to the dad. You get introduced to Craig going through getting the big old to
the entire Jones family at that moment.
Getting the big old bowl of cereal with no milk. We've all experienced that, right?
Yeah. You better put some water on that shit. Don't waste my damn cereal. Like, dang.
And I also gotta point out the scene where the dad is telling Craig to come here so they can have kind of like a one-on-one talk about the job loss in the bathroom, where he's like, boy, I've smelled your shit for 22 years. You can come in here and smell mine for 5 minutes. I can relate to that.
How familiar is that, dude? My mom would sit there and leave the fucking bathroom door open and she'd be butt-ass naked. I'm like, would you shut the door? She's like, well, you motherfuckers have like killed me on privacy, so I don't have privacy no more. It's like, you might need to have some. But you know what I'm talking about. They just sit there on the pisser and talk to you. They just have a conversation with you while they're on the toilet.
Oh no, mine, that too, or like full on just taking a shower and just freaking like, dude, can I leave just for like 15 minutes? I'll come back. No, you're fine. No, the fuck, I'm not. I'm not. See, I'm not fine. Where... I don't want to be here.
See, he was just taking a dump, but you're talking about showers and shit. That's spooky as hell.
And that's why I'm just like, bro, I'm good.
Zach, do you have any relatable bathroom stories?
No, I can't say that I do.
You didn't have as open a family as we did, would you?
No.
Thank God for that.
What about you, Zach? Did you enjoy the opening, getting the conversation between the dad and the cereal and the food, eating all the pig feed, eating all the food?
All the hog balls.
I mean, it is enjoyable, that the bathroom conversation is funny. And like you were saying, Ed, you better put some water in the cereal and eat that. There are moments in this that I was like, okay, that is funny, but I guess my thing with this is, I just can't relate to it. Maybe that's the biggest thing for me, I guess, you know.
And see, that's the thing, man. It's
a Smokey character. I'm a big ass pothead, and I relate to Smokey on so many different levels.
See, and that's the thing. Like, I've never really partaken much in my lifetime, but it's more just like most of them are my friends were. A lot of my friends are still to this day. You know, we all three know how, or three of us know how each other's family is. You know, I mean.
Well, you live in Tuklahoma, though. But you live in Tuklahoma, so everybody smokes there in Tuklahoma, don't they?
I mean, a majority of people. Or Midwest. A lot of people Midwest, that do, yeah.
Midwest Diddy.
Yeah. I live close to, or, you know, of course, as far as like Chicken House goes, Del Shitty, you know.
Let's talk about some of the actors that are no longer with us anymore. Like, man, you have
there's like seven people.
Yeah, John Witherspoon.
He plays Mr. Jones.
Tom Lister Jr.
Yep. He was Zeus in the WWE.
And you know, if you guys had to pick, now at the end of the day, this is still a film. This is still cinema. Zach, what would you say the MacGuffin is? Or Jay, if anybody can answer.
It's the weed, man.
Is it the weed?
Or is it the weed that Smokey owes
him? Or is it $200?
Well, it's the $200 or his weed back.
I would say the $200 because, like, not everybody was searching for... the weed was there, but it was a story around it. I would say like MacGuffin more would have been the $200 because like that's
even something Debo wanted.
Exactly. Yeah, well, he had it. Well, Debo did have until the end of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a hard one because it could be, I mean, you could argue for either one of them. Like you could legitimately argue either one of them.
The only reason why I say both of them is because Big Worm sits there and is like, either you give me my weed or you give me my money. So one of those two things would have closed the loop and there would have been no Big Worm shooting at him later on that evening and everything. So
Hector and them like with the weed, and then you got Debo with the $200. So that kind of evens out both of it. Craig's on, you know, the weed side. Like, there's a lot of it, dude. Because, I mean, honestly, I will say, like, an underappreciated role in this would probably be Ezell.
Oh, Ezell's hilarious as hell. Ezell's the crackhead in the movie.
Well, don't wrong. He moves the story along in ways that people don't really think about or see at first. Because, okay, at the beginning, you got to think. Okay, Craig was fired for what? Stealing boxes. Everybody's like, how you fired on your day off when you stole some boxes? You trying to build a fort? Like, Ezell, in the very beginning, the very first scene, was running with boxes.
Azel's the one that got Craig fired. There's a little trivia answer there for you, Zach. What got Craig fired was Azel the crackhead still in the boxes.
Azel sees, Smokey taking a shit, and he's just like,
I'll clean that up for you a couple bucks.
I'll clean that shit up for $2 or whatever.
Which is hence why Smokey and Craig want to whip his ass at the end of the movie.
They want to get him. They want to catch those kids.
Oh, they finally get those kids. Go ahead, Zach.
Honestly, to be completely honest with you guys, the biggest laugh I got out of the movie was Bernie Mac as the preacher, and he goes across the street and hooks up.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
He knows what I was just like.
Miss Parker?
Was it the little person that got you, Zach?
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
You goddamn devil! Like, dang.
Which is played by Tony Cox.
He was in Me, Myself, and Irene.
Yep.
You know, and the funny thing is, Debo, I was just like, where do I know him from? He was the criminal in The Dark Knight that throws the detonator out of the boat. And I was just like, oh my God.
He's been around for a minute. You should have seen him back in his wrestling days when he wrestled for the WWE. It was like him and Macho Man teaming up to take on Hulk Hogan and somebody else. I can't remember right now. Ultimate Warrior, I believe, but I could be wrong. But there was a tag team thing, Zeus, and he came in as Zeus because he was in a movie with Hogan called No Holds Barred. And it was produced by WWE, and part of the stipulation of his contract was to come in and have a couple matches with Hogan and put him over and shit. So it was, that's where I know Debo from.
Okay. Because, this was the first movie I ever had any knowledge of who he was. I mean, this was the first movie I had of, like, Chris Tucker outside of, like, Rush Hour. Or, no, not...
Rush Hour came later, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I know, but, like, I seen Rush Hour before I seen this.
Well, that's what I'm saying, you know, but this is what begat Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy on some of the films that, like, you've seen in differences, like, you know, I knew Ice Cube with some of his music. I knew Dre with his music and Cypress Hill with music, you know, and then they're, you know, doing different movies and stuff like that. And then what's it called? Ice Cube writes this, and this kind of just blows up over time, and, you know, all kinds of like some of the music that's in this that was, like, you know, in the Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
It has great musical cues, is what you're talking about. Is that, like, I could sit there. I remember the scene where Smokey's coming out of the backyard after sit there, and Craig sits there and sticks the gun in his face. You can automatically hear the song playing because that's when a Big Worm comes pulling up, and that's his theme song. So it's automatically setting the tone for that next scene of here's his theme song, you know. You're like, Debo had the theme song of that dun 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 dun, and the squeaking of the bike.
And if I'm not mistaken, that followed him on to after the next Friday, didn't it?
It did.
I was about to say, I thought it did. Especially, you know, when him and his brother break out. Yeah,
see, Zach, part two and part three, you probably won't care. They probably won't check them out. But part two and part three are very, very good as well. They hold up to me, to the original.
Yeah.
They have just as much quotable stuff going on as they do anything else.
Much star power.
The whole Cat Williams character, Money Mike, in the third Friday is absolutely one of the best characters that's in the Friday series besides Smokey.
Yeah. Like, Mike Epps was real good, but he didn't match, you know, Chris. He didn't match Smokey. He didn't match even, you know, Money Mike. He didn't, like, those two were just
over the top. Wasn't there a whole issue about why Chris Tucker wasn't coming back?
It was because he was a borderline Christian.
I think the biggest issue that I've heard is that he didn't want to hurt the character's legacy, and that's why he hasn't done anything else, because he's like, I did perfect on him, and I want to leave him at that.
What I've heard that it was because he was a born again Christian. He became a born again Christian sometime after the Rush Hour 2 or 3.
Well, I mean, they're so wrong.
He looked back at Smokey being a kind of like a bad character in a way in his mind.
That makes sense, especially looking at all the stuff he did after. Yeah, so all the stuff.
There's a little bit of trivia about
Chris Tucker on why he did the Rush Hour movies and not more Fridays. But he basically played Smokey in all those fucking movies.
I'm like, he could come back and Smokey could be the same way, you know, just have this little tick still. And, you know, he's at drug seminars and crap like that, trying to get people off, you know, like trying to help them off drugs or whatever. Because at the end of the Friday, you know, I'm checking into rehab, and, you know, and I'm just bullshitting, man. Like, different things like that is like, you know, I don't know. They could do a ton of stuff with this.
Well, I've always thought that the fourth movie should lead off with the death of Pops. Mr. Jones passes away,
and
they all spend one last Friday together. Even call it Last Friday. Fuck it. You know, have everybody show back up. What I like about the third one is it's a Christmas movie. So that makes me smile.
Yeah.
That I have a Friday Christmas movie to watch.
I mean, Last Friday has been in pre-production for the longest time, but I don't. It still hasn't gotten off the script.
Writing board, basically.
So,
well, it's because they always they're wanting to hold out for Chris Tucker for damn sure, but the whole point of the matter is I don't think you'll ever get him back unless you offer him an exorbitant amount of money or some shit. You know, if you're offering him like, we'll give you $20 million, Chris, to come back, maybe. But I honestly don't think he'd come back.
If they really want Chris Tucker, I think it should just be for the funeral scene, and that's it. Make him a 5-minute thing, tops, and, you know, hey, thanks for coming.
Well, then you sit there and worry about the rest of the movie.
I know it's been a long time. I know it's crazy how different everything is, you know, but it's just like.
But Smokey was Friday, though. You only give us 5 minutes of Smokey. It's like only having like 5 minutes of Jay and Silent Bob in a Jay and Silent Bob movie. It's like, we can't have that. We got to have him the whole movie. Oh, at least that's my opinion.
Ed, you're muted there. Oh, no technical
difficulty. Yeah, I wasn't talking. I was talking here.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, you were wanting to talk about some of the actors, Johnny, that like John Witherspoon, Bernie Mac. Look at all them. Like, a lot of the people that were in this movie, because I grew up in that era when this movie was out on pay-per-view, like I said, and coming out on home video, is that the people that were in the movie stole what you were going to see, because, you know, by this point, John Witherspoon, you know, he's been gone to do the Wayne's Brothers show and play their dad and shit. And then he went on to do the Boondock Saints. You know, John Witherspoon got his big start from this movie. He had Bernie Mac that, you know, he played the preacher and everything, but he got his big start right there. You know, he was able to get over with his scene and make it mainstream, because later on, and a couple of years later, he had a movie called The Original Kings of Comedy that put him over the top. And, you know, Chris Tucker got his start here. Ice Cube was already known for Boys in the Hood, but he had his, this is where he could sit there and show he could do comedy as well. You know, Boys in the Hood was fucking dramatic material. Could he do a comedy? Because those are two different things. Those are two different species. And
man, Boys in the Hood was good, though. Like, man, when I heard him talk about Boys in the Hood in this little documentary before I watched Friday, I was like, man, that's another movie that just... life lessons.
Heartbreaking in it.
Yeah.
My generation grew up on knowing what the fuck somebody screaming Ricky meant. It was like, yeah, motherfucker just got shot and killed. Ricky just got shot and killed. So, spoiler alert, even, Boys in the Hood.
Even the actor who plays Izzel isn't even alive anymore. And it's crazy to think that this movie is almost 30 years old next year.
Well, we were talking about Clerks just the other day, and it was 30 years old on that. Just, yeah, Friday's about to hit that 3-0.
Even Regina King. Like Regina King was in this movie very young, up,
didn't she?
Yeah, yeah, she did.
She even did that Watchmen TV show.
Oh,
yes,
which is an excellent show.
Yeah, and then she directed If Beale Street Could Talk, right, which was an Oscar contender.
No, she didn't direct that. She directed One Night in Miami.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, she won her Oscar for If Beale Street Could Talk.
No, that's right.
Did you guys know, I'm sure Jay, you probably knew this, but did you guys ever watch the animated show that came out?
I did not, but I did have it pirated at one time. So. I'm not even bullshitting. It's like a 12-episode series. I actually had them downloaded and ready to watch, but I never sit down and actually watched them, so I can't say I've seen the Friday cartoon. Well, kind of like the Clerks, they had a cartoon of the fucking show.
Yeah.
That's the way it pretty much was like a, I know it was a carry-on of the movie that, you know, and Smokey's in it. So that's where, if you want to see more Smokey and Craig together, there you go. There's 12 episodes, I believe, of the Friday TV show that you can watch.
Did the actors voice the characters?
I can't remember. I really can't.
No, Ice Cube and Tucker weren't in the animated show. They hired different actors to do the voices.
Oh, that's lame.
But who knows, for a comedic cartoon, it might work.
What'd you guys think of Felicia?
Oh, we all know Felicia.
Again, there's another like quotable line from the movie, "Bye, Felicia." Or like when they're walking by, they see what's her name? The lady. Miss Jones.
Miss Parker.
Right. Miss Parker. Miss Parker. Yeah, yeah.
Let me ask you guys something. Do you think that this is kind of the stepping stone to some of the... obviously, we had stoner comedies before this, like Cheech and Chong and all of them. And then, like, Friday, Next Friday, that was in the 90s. And then the 2000s, we got the Seth Rogen... smoker comedies. Do you think that was a stepping stone for that?
I'd say it'd have to be. I guarantee if you ask Seth Rogen and what he thought about Friday and how influential it was to his career, he'd probably say pretty big. I believe it or not, I'd have to say he would, just because he's a stoner himself. So he has to have seen that movie at least a few times. You know, he didn't grow up in that era without having seen Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would also agree that like Friday set the tone so high and set the bar so high that some of the movies that followed that was in that same comedy / genre community, you know, just never took off, like How High or Soul Plane. Like those were funny, probably one-time watches, but really they're not Friday. You know what I mean?
Exactly. You know, there's something real about Friday. Go ahead, Zach.
Well,
I would definitely agree. How High on that. I won't say How High as is beating or is as equal, but I will say How High is like...
It's not on the same level.
No. No. I'm sorry, E.
Like, How High I've always loved.
Loving it and being on the level of Friday are two different things.
Yeah, but aren't those all those other films are kind of like, I don't want to say like carbon copies of Friday, just in different versions?
In a way.
It depends, because I mean, do you want to say that Friday is a carbon copy of like House Party or you know, different films like that, because I mean it can generate from a lot of different standpoints, and I mean a lot of them were stoner comedies, urban movies for that matter.
He's got a point on House Party. That's a good bring up.
Oh, it was popular. Kid and Play were very popular back in the day. They had a few movies out. I remember.
House Party wasn't nothing to sneeze at.
No, and didn't he just get done with a Super Bowl commercial?
I'm not sure.
I think
I think he had a Super Bowl commercial this year or last year.
House
Party. Didn't the House Party remake, didn't that come out last year or the year before?
Yeah, that came something like last year.
I can't answer that.
They're making a Half-Baked 2, so I can't put anything. And Half-Baked's another one. If we're going to have to talk about stoner comedies, that I think it's on par with Friday with being a stoner comedy. but having more substance, Friday has more substance.
Now, have any of you seen the tragedy, the epic tragedy that is How High 2?
No, see? I've only seen the first one time.
Just don't. You're good. Don't even do it.
I've never even seen How High.
How High?
I've seen it once.
Bro, what? And you're trying to say like it's just a one-time watch?
And see, I think it's one of those that like when it comes to Friday, I think the big difference between Friday, How High, and all the other like Half-Baked, the biggest difference in the entire world is the one who wrote it, and that's Ice Cube. Like when you look at somebody who has obviously had influence in writing his music, writing things in the culture that he's a part of, like
he was a part of NWA before becoming an actor.
Yeah, like the dude helped produce. We just got done talking about it. The movie before this. The quote.
Yeah.
What was he? We just got done talking about it. Not Menace to Society. Boys in the Hood.
Yes, Boys in the Hood.
Yeah, we just got done mentioning Boys in the Hood. So, like, you can tell from his visionary of doing something like that and his acting chops of doing that and then going to writing something like Friday, like, you knew it was going to be
but
like
you got to wonder how much is him and how much is DJ Pooh.
So, don't get me wrong on
I
that
think they
part.
Just threw a, I think they just threw scenarios at each other, and they were like, this is how we could play the script. Smokey comes over and this happens. How about this?
Well, in the documentary that I watched, he pretty much said that Boys in the Hood, Menace to Society, the writing of that was from a darker / more older scene of things that were
they
going on in his life.
They basically then, wanted to call them the Hood movies.
They wanted to show they wanted to show like a lighter side to that part of society.
And Friday was the light, like exactly what Zach said, the lighter, happier side of what was going on in that area.
See, and
here's what's going on in urban Black America. You don't have to. We're not all about drugs and shit like that, you know. So, you know, somewhat.
I was about to say because you got to look at not only his style of writing as far as movies, but his style of writing as far as like music goes. Because if you go and look at like. Anything from when he was in his NWA days, when he did, you know, when he wrote Cabbage Patch for World Class Wrecking Crew, when he did, you know, America's Most Wanted, anything from he did with the Lynch Mob or CIA, all that stuff. You got to look at all that stuff in the groups that he's been in, the tours he's done, the people he's, you know, to me, I would say it's either 70-30 or 60-40. 60 Ice Cube, 40 DJ Pooh. And I'm not saying DJ Pooh doesn't know shit. I'm not saying it like that, but it's just like, to me, this sticks out so much as far as like what Ice Cube gone through or had seen, at least for that matter. Cause I mean, we've all got neighbors. We've all got neighbors that stick their nose in everybody's business. We've all got that one that's, louder than everybody else, or you're suspicious of cause they're so quiet or they don't mess with anybody. You know, it's, I don't know, it just kind of speaks
it hit too many home buttons for you, didn't it?
And that's the thing right there. It's just like, okay, what if I group all these scenarios in the same, like, little block and see what goes on? Like, let's see what characters we can write out of these guys
I thought Ice Cube wrote a little bit more movie or television, but I guess after Friday, he only wrote the script for the Players Club. Next Friday, All About the Benjamins, and then Friday after next, and then he did write the animated series.
Well, what about?
Didn't he write the barbershop movies?
No, he was just in those movies. That's basically Friday set in a barbershop. That's all I gotta say.
I mean, yeah, it's not too damn different.
No, it's just Ice Cube relocated from the porch to the barbershop, and we're just talking to Ice Cube there at the barbershop. Now, instead of having a sassy pot smoke, we have a sassy, grumpy old man that, you know, has rented a chair since my father was, you know, the owner of the store. you know.
And then if you want to, if you want to look at DJ Pooh, the only thing he's written is Friday, Next Friday, Three Strikes, The Wash. And then he did some stuff for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas and Grand Theft Auto Online in 2013.
But he also portrayed Red, the guy that gets knocked out by Debo asking for his bike. So he gets to appear in the movie. He plays Red. He's the one that gets knocked the fuck out by Debo.
Oh, he crying in the car.
He got his chain back, though.
That's my grandma chain.
See, he left it at a person. See, just that character alone right there. We're sitting there talking about a character that had maybe 20 seconds of screen time. But here we are 30 years later. My mama gave me that chain. You know, we know what the fuck you're talking about. If you've seen the movie, you get it. You know it.
To me, it was the running for him. The biggest thing on him was the freaking running, because how he was just flapping his arms.
The floppy arm.
I was just like, why?
That had to be like a 90s trend thing, because if you go back and look at some comedies now or early 2000s, it's like, let's write the dummy and then he'll have like a certain line or two. But when we make him run, let's just make him look like an all out dummy.
Yep.
Oh, but that's the way he fucking walks is hilarious. Seriously, like, but see, me and you watched the director's cut. So we got, but I think they're in the director's cut, the whole ending part where Craig talks to his dad on the toilet again is added in, because we have one at the beginning of the movie where they sit there and talk about Craig becoming a dog catcher. And then we have later on in the evening, you know,
I like that whole scene where he's talking about, you know, how many dogs I have to catch and, you know, like, what, are you too good to be a dog catcher?
That's pleasure. I just grab a dog, I choke him, put my foot in his ass. Bang, 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 in his ass. Like, damn.
And then let's kind of talk about, before we talk about some favorite scenes, let's talk about how, to me, the best parts of the movie is all in the daylight. Yeah. And then, obviously, when the sun goes down, you get the fight, and you get some other funny scenes. But, man, I feel like the best parts of the entire movie are when the sun's up. What do you guys think?
Oh, I agree. Don't get me wrong, when after the sun sets, shit gets crazy, but you know, we're at that waiting period just like they are, because now they're having to wait for that 10 o'clock fucking deadline. Yeah. And if it comes to that, because like you see them, they're hanging out on the porch and they're trying to make plans and shit. We'll just run over here, we'll go over here, whatever. And like Chris Tucker's like, I'm gonna stay at the house, and you just, you know, you come out and check every now and then.
Or when he goes to the car and he sees his Janet Jackson girl that he's supposed to hook up with.
More like Freddie Jackson. Damn.
he's telling her to go get some dinner or something, because you know you're hungry.
I already ate twice before I got over here. I was like, twice? What?
And it was like lunch. Small stuff that got written in, like when Smokey and Craig are going and getting his mom cigarettes and the car starts sputting and shooting.
Yep.
And you have Izzel just like running around the corner acting like something's shooting at him.
Nah, I like the little, I think it's like an underappreciated scene when they go into the convenience store and Izzel's trying to get $150,000, but we can settle for $40,000. Like,
but isn't that most crackheads right around the corner? Like they got money for their lottery tickets, but they're asking you for help for their drink, just in case if they win anything big, they don't want to have to share with anybody.
What you got on my $40,000, cuz? Like, nothing, bro. What? Like Paul Walker, stop it.
Whoa.
Well, because
that's funny.
Too Fast, Too Furious, he had that line, forget about it, cuz, you know. Like, no.
But like I said, the Friday movie, at least the first one, hell, all three of them were very quotable. You know, especially they have some dramatic drop a little bit in the presentation. Like I said, I love the Friday After Next, whether being it set at Christmas time, because what else could a Friday movie be except getting a Christmas movie from Ice Cube? You know, that's fucking hilarious. We got a Christmas movie in the hood. So,
and then the next one, he ends up going to like his, he goes to stay at like his uncle's house, right?
Yeah, his rich uncle's house that Rancho won the lottery. Cucamonga.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I played for Rancho Cucamonga Crack Killers. What you want? Like, damn.
It really, yeah. Watching this one today really wanted me to just, I wanted to be like, okay, let me hurry up and just put the second one, and I want to watch the second one too. But March Madness came a calling, and then I fell asleep. So,
Zach, I'm sorry, and we've been talking over you.
No, I like I said at the beginning, this, you know, this wasn't really a movie for me. I just, I knew I was going to be the outlier in this, so I was going to sit back and let you guys talk about it. So,
let's give him the opportunity then. Zach, do you have like a favorite scene or two you want to mention?
Probably my favorite scene is the Bernie Mac as the preacher. He runs over and, you know, does his thing. And yeah, when Ice Cube's wanting some milk and, you know, he dumps it in there, just like a little bit left. And his dad's like, yeah, you better put water in that and heat it all up. So I think the thing I will say, you know, I told my coworkers I was doing this movie, and they're both black, and they asked, like, what do you think about it? And I said, well, you know, it's just not really for me. And they say it's one of their favorite movies because they know the culture. They know the lifestyle. They, you know, they know people that are like that in the movie. And so that's, they think it's just so funny. And to me, you know, like you guys said, you know, people that are like this in this movie. I don't know anybody like that. So it's like, okay, you know, I know there are tropes, I guess you could say, that I've seen in other stoner comedy movies. So like you said, Jay, Seth Rogen is probably heavily influenced by this with Pineapple Express and other things like that. So I get it. So
it's before they had to could walk, they had to crawl. And the way they crawled was with Friday. And yeah, they hit it out of the fucking park. Because after that, we got a lot of urban black comedies. You know what I mean? After that. We got like Martin Lawrence coming out with movies and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, Ed, what about you? You have a favorite scene or two?
The whole damn thing.
Honestly, one of the big ones is when Smokey is in the back of the lowrider with Hector and all them, and he's explaining the Debo's chicken coop story about him smoking laced weed. That one's kind of funny to me. And then, honestly, the best scenes to me are when Smokey and Craig are just sitting on the porch, just chilling, you know, because, I mean, you know, you've got a few of the lighthearted, funny times that are just kind of bullshit that's just there because they're smoking between each other and, you know, dancing a little bit or whatever, and then you got Debo coming up and ruining that, or you've got, like, them talking about, you know, what are we going to do to get this money? What are we going to do with this weed? You better go sell it, blah, blah, blah. Or you've got like...
Because even if you can't relate to any of the other stuff, I think we could all even just relate to sitting on the front porch or sitting with somebody and just having conversations about the week or the day.
And yeah, just different oddities coming up throughout the day. You know, if you're sitting outside, you know, how many times have you been sitting outside, you know, and your neighbor come up to you? They would have never came over and talked to you if your ass wasn't standing outside. So,
yeah, I mean, just teeth washing in general.
It turns into a whole experiment of who's going to fuck with me in my me time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say another thing. I will say, I don't know if it's one of my favorite scenes, but the fight sequence with Craig and Debo at the end is a pretty brutal fight.
Yeah.
seeing kind of hood movies, because like I said, I grew up in the era of the hood movies, so it was pretty realistic. For a fist fight, you know, I've heard of motherfuckers being picked up and suplexed on the fucking car window and shit like that. You know, I've been in a few fights myself, and some of the shit that I've been into could be like, really, like that happened? Like, oh hell yeah, it happened. I'm not telling you the full thing because if I told you everything, it'd be fucking crazy. but no, it was one of those fights that looked pretty realistic, even for a comedy.
Yeah.
Because it played that straight line where it was a comedy, but like I said, it was a teaching point as well. But my favorite scene in the entire movie is a small part. It's whenever they're coming back from the store and his car is still backfiring and he can't get the damn thing to stop. And his shoe gets caught on the concrete and it skids his fucking shoe up. I don't know why that scene makes me laugh so much, but that right there is one of my favorite scenes, is when Smokey Shoe gets scuffed up because he's trying to stop the car. And then, like you said, those little moments with these Ezel, whenever the car backfires, motherfucker like ducks down and takes off around the corner, like there's somebody shooting at him and shit.
Because he steals, he don't kill.
So see that, yeah, I'm a generation that grew up with Friday. So like I said, I was 13 years old when the movie came out, and I was about 14 when I seen it. So it was, it hit me at that era where, you know, being in our family, we knew what the hell pot was. If you didn't know what the fuck was going on in the pot business, you didn't, you know, you weren't a part of our family.
My favorite scene would probably be the life lesson talks with his dad. And then how at the end, you know, he's got the flashback of shooting the gun, but doesn't really shoot the gun. And then he puts the gun down and
that, I don't know why they put that in narratively. That always threw me off out of the movie. That one little hiccup right there, I'd say, throws me out of the movie. Where it's,
well, because they talk about it. You know, they talk about how everybody has a choice, and you can either put it down and just fight. You win some, you lose some, you live to fight another day, or you know, if you would have pulled the trigger, that'd have been it. So. I always like, you know, even though the movie is like super, super funny and is like always memorable for what it was, I like how there's always those, you know, they're not small or hidden, but there's always those teachable life lesson moments in there.
Yep.
So
doesn't Cube shoot somebody in Boys in the Hood at the end of the movie, right? He gets revenge on somebody. So that's kind of like a
villain Ricky.
Yeah, so that's kind of like a the 360 of that image in this Friday. You know, his dad kind of tells him to put the gun down and walk away.
Because I don't think he had a dad in Boys in the Hood.
No, he didn't.
He didn't have that father figure to tell him.
He was arrested. Remember, before they did the time jump, him and that other boy were arrested and they were taken to jail for robbing the store, stealing some shit from the store.
Yeah.
And they got caught.
Boys in the Hood is a great movie. I need to rewatch
Boys in the Hood is one of those movies that I can remember. It came out in 92 or 91. I know where in the hell I was at in 91. I was 10 years old, and I sat there and watched that in Oklahoma City, be like, that's how it is out there in California? Holy shit. Fuck all that noise. I could not. Yeah, seriously, I was like, if that's the legit how shit's going on over there, this is American. This is happening. Wow.
I mean, the crazy thing is, John Singleton got nominated for Best Director, got an Oscar nomination for that.
Yeah.
It is a damn good movie.
91 should have won. And then movies like Menace to Society, still, too. That movie always
hits. Another comedy that came out that you guys might relate to is called Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood, starring the Marlon Brothers. I don't, has anybody seen those ones?
Yep. I'm not a fan of the, Ed knows this, I'm not a fan of the movies that make fun of other movies.
Oh, but these are done beautifully, though. Oh, these are done beautifully in this movie.
Do we have a problem? Yeah.
Jay, let's start with you. Star rating for Friday.
I'll give it an 8.5 because every time I visit this movie, I see something different. Like, I felt differently watching it this last time. It felt being more of a father now than I am a young teenager. You know what I mean? I'm a father now, so I'd want my kids, you know, to have that respect factor. You know, if you're going to live here, you're going to work, you know, you win some, you lose some, that type of shit. You know, I, as a dad, that's shit I'd like to teach my kid. Yep. So, but I'll do 8.5.
I'll do one just a little lower. I'm going to do an 8. I still really enjoyed this movie today. Like I said, it put a smile on my face today when it's been a rough going week. The movie flew by for it, even just, you know, an hour and a half, hour and 37. It flew by. The only time I kind of had a small issue with it was I kind of zoned away. Like right when the sun went down, right when he was around that area where he was talking to his Janet Jackson right after that. But like I said, it was probably only like 5 minutes that I got distracted. Then I looked back up and I was back intrigued with the movie. you know, I appreciate everything as far as the darkness goes, the punching, you know, hitting Felicia, making her look like she got hit pretty big, you know, pretty hard. So I'm going to give it an 8. I don't know how the rewatchability would go. Like I said, I haven't seen this movie in quite some time, but I enjoyed it. Laughed a lot. An 8 for me. Zach, let's go with you. Next.
Like I said, I feel like the jerk in this episode. It's a 6. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't hate it. I didn't love it. It's just, you know, this to me is like when I make Ed watch the Alfred Hitchcock movies, you're like, okay, I mean, I get why people like this, but it's not. It's just not for me, man. So
now your cup of tea. That's the thing. If this is the first time you're watching us, listening to us, we're all not going to agree with movies. We're all not going to agree with ratings. Next week when we do the Iron Claw, somebody might think this is a stupid movie that shouldn't have been made about four people who had no reason in getting in any kind of business or anything, you know. Or when we talk Aquaman in 2 weeks, somebody might like Aquaman, or you know, there might be a reasoning for that. So, or when we talk True Lies.
Johnny's expecting perfect tens next week. You watch.
So I'm super excited, and I always love when we talk about movies that are diverse and that people don't like. I feel like those are our most favorite episodes. To be honest with you, I wouldn't have minded Zach watching this movie and came on today and completely toured a new asshole. I think those conversations and those episodes are fun. So those are some of our most, you know, talked about and most downloaded episodes. When we're just like, well, you didn't find this funny. Why? I find this funny because, like,
do you know why I think people will want to watch this? Because 3 out of 4 of us find it funny, and they probably find it funny too. They just want to be clear on their fucking intentions that, oh yeah, there's other people like me that are like this too. Oh yeah. Big fan community for Friday.
3 out of 4 dipshits recommend this movie.
I really enjoy those conversations. So,
No. Listen, this is not Halloween season of the witch. Where I was like, I wanted to text you immediately, say, dude, why are we doing this? It's not like that.
Season of the Witch was a fun conversation, though.
It was a fun conversation, but it was just a terrible movie.
May I add the conversation we had about Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers?
I had to talk about libraries midway through the conversation.
Exactly.
Hey, so the movie might be a 5, but the conversation's like a 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
So, Jay, you gave this an 8.5. I gave it an 8. Zach, you gave it a 6. Ed, finish us off.
Man, this is a comfort movie to me. This is a movie I can watch at least once every couple weeks, easy. This is straight up 10 to me. Like, this is one of my favorite movies. Music all around, the stuff that I've gone through that has happened in this movie, or I've seen and has happened in this movie, or you know, all that. This movie helped shape a lot of different things that I do like and I do enjoy thoroughly. So I'm gonna have to go ahead and say 10. I mean, you know, maybe I'm giving it too much, maybe it's because I'm biased, and that's cool, you know, but it's just one of my things. Like, this is a favorite of mine. Easy.
Nice.
Oh, it's easy to see why I can give it a 10, because there's just so much in this movie to love.
You know, fair enough.
Zach is a Earl Grey with milk kind of guy. You might have to venture into the 40, old English 40.
Oh, shit. I used to sit there and drink the OE. I got shit faced drunk after going to Golden Corral one night and barked all over the place. That's me at a 40.
He was like, whatever the cat don't clean up in the morning, I'll get.
Basically, I mean, like,
that's why they went from glass to plastic.
Motherfuckers be dropping that shit. But it wasn't authentic unless you had the plastic, the paper bag around the bottle. You know what I mean? Yep. You had to have that bottle. See, another memory that we all have is Zach's like, I don't fucking get that.
Unfortunately, I have to deal with that every day.
Modelo time?
Hard times, Johnny. Daddy.
Oh, Johnny, I forgot to say, I did watch the first episode of Quiet on the Set about the Nickelodeon producer. It's like, gosh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
Wait, no. Wait till you get to episode three, dude.
I heard it gets a lot worse, yeah.
Wait till episode three, and I swear you'll go down a rabbit hole. It's intense. I watched it all on last Sunday or something like that in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's intense, dude.
Yeah.
But here's the craziest part about the whole series. Before the series was made, this was like an open secret in Hollywood, believe it or not.
Oh, yeah.
It seriously was. Like, if you follow Hollywood drama and shit like that, how Dan Schneider was known to be a fucking freak and a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because, you know, like one time he sat there and goes on Twitter and has one of the main characters of one of the shows send me your feet pics. Telling all these little girls in the fucking country to send them the feet pics. Smart, but dude, really?
Again, like I said, I've only watched the first episode, but I like the whole thing, when you start looking back on everything, it's just like, wow, that is kind of like very underage Ariana Grande just pouring water all over herself in a very sexualized manner. That's like, dude.
Trying to squeeze the juice out of a potato.
Yeah.
And I mean, fair with that, the character of Kat was supposed to be kind of a ditzy person.
Yeah.
But you can do ditzy in a child's manner. You know, you don't need to do it it said on the documentary, and like Jay even said just a bit ago, just you don't need to do creepy crap like that. You know, getting your big toe in your mouth. Like, you don't need to.
I mean, the signs are there. Literally, the Nickelodeon foot sign.
Yeah.
That's true.
Nickelodeon. So. Well, I didn't grow up in the era of Josh and Drake and all those damn shows that Dan Schneider made. I didn't grow up in that era. I grew up in the Double Dare area when we had cool, fun shit where that made you want to go to Universal Studios so you could be on TV.
Get slimed on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We were the stars then. It wasn't until the mid-90s, 2000s that they started doing that scripted shit. You know, I was raised on Guts.
We were Kenan Thompson guys.
Fucking
Hidden
Temple show.
Double Dare. Oh yeah, Hidden Temple was good.
I knew all that too.
None of those shows even exist anymore. So
he's the reason why the babies were what is that called? He's the reason the babies were dancing in Rugrats like that. Man. Makes sense.
What are we talking about next week, Johnny?
Zach, what are we talking about next week?
Why don't we just skip up in the Iron Claw and just talk some more Dan Schneider conspiracy news? It sounds pretty interesting topic.
Well, Johnny already has his WWE thing back in the background, so we're talking about the Iron Claw next week.
No, not even that. This is an A24 film, fellas. You know how Juan is with A24.
A24, Zac Efron, and wrestling, and an actor from The Bear all in one episode.
And Chavo Guerrero?
I might Nickelodeon slime right. Nope, I won't go there.
The only thing I can say about the movie this week before you tune in next week is like, what the fuck happened to Zac Efron's face? Everybody at least knows that part. They've seen the trailer. What the fuck happened to his face? Like, holy shit, bro.
Zac Efron. So that's what we're talking about next week. Special start time. If you're watching us, if you're listening to us, you can still listen to it after 9 p.m. But if you're watching us next week right here on this YouTube channel, we will be streaming this episode at 1 p.m. next Sunday. That way we can get out of here and go enjoy WrestleMania Sunday. Over on the Sports Podcast, guys, episode 4 is this Wednesday, April the 3rd. At 6:40 p.m., it'll be entirely dedicated to the Final Four. We'll talk about the Elite Eight, who's going on, who advanced, and we'll also talk about the NCAA Women's and March Madness Men's Tournament. And then on Friday, April the 5th, the entire episode will be dedicated to WrestleMania. We'll talk our top 5 WrestleMania events, And we'll also give our predictions on who's winning on night one and night two. That's this Friday, April the 5th, 6:40 p.m. And then, like I said, next Sunday, if you just listen to us for the movies, we're talking about the Iron Claw. We're also going to talk our top five favorite wrestling characters next Sunday when we discuss the Iron Claw.
What?
So, yep.
What?
Oh, hell yeah.
So it should be fun. And can we include Thunder Lips in that top five favorite wrestling characters from Rocky III? Can we?
I don't know if we can include Zeus, man.
We can include Zeus.
All right.
We might talk about him next week too. So, other than that, guys, any final thoughts or any comments before we head out and head to our WrestleMania weekend?
I'll sit there and say this. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. As far as it goes with Friday, just keep your heads ringing. That's all.
I was going to say this movie's a cultural icon in certain communities. You know, one of our guys here gave it a 10 tonight. That's how much it means to his life. So it's weird how a film could like speak to you in so many different ways through the years. So that's what I like about this.
That's what I like about movies in general. That's good. It's good stuff.
Your interpretation is different every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that's a good note to leave it on. Movies can talk to us. Keep it going. Watch something good this week, and we will see you guys next week on another brand new episode of the Cinnamon Movie Podcast.
Laters.
Happy Easter.
Bye.